You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily podcast on the Toronto Blue Jays, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to Locked On Blue Jays, your daily dose of Toronto Blue Jays talk directly into your headphones, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As available on many fine podcasting apps like Himalaya, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, all that stuff. You can find Locked On Blue Jays. And me, the host of said program, Ryan Andrews from JaysFromTheCouch.com, here with you for another day, another overcast day out here in Nova Scotia, which is fitting, I guess, considering what we're going to talk about. We're going to focus on last night's game against San Francisco. And we're going to talk about Trent Thornton in the latter half of the podcast. There are some things that need to be discussed with him, but I want to keep it positive to start, because last night was a positive night. Maybe not on the win-loss column for the Blue Jays, because they lost that game 7-6 to San Francisco. But that wasn't the story. As mentioned yesterday on the podcast, the big story was the return of Kevin Pillar to Toronto. And we knew this was going to be emotional. We knew this was going to be, you know, an outpouring of appreciation for what Kevin Pillar did. And I expressed my hope that it would be something like that, and both teams didn't disappoint last night. Just the way they let Kevin Pillar go out there and just kind of have the moment to himself, the moment where he got to see all the work he did. And I thought that was a well-done video tribute, just highlighting the plays, but also highlighting the work he did in the community, which was huge. It was a big part of rehabbing his image in fans' minds, at least in my mind, considering the lone dark mark on Pillar's tenure in Toronto, which was the use of a slur on Jason Mott in 2017. But he atoned. He became so important to that community. He's still a part of that community, as evidenced by his social media and what he was doing and seeing his old friends and stuff. Like, Kevin Pillar is that kind of, I don't want to say Doug Gilmore for the Blue Jays, because Gilmore was more talented proportionally, but I can't really say Ty Domi either. I'm trying to think of who Toronto really has that kind of relationship with. Probably the best comparison I can make in Toronto sports for Kevin Pillar is Jerome Williams, JYD, who, you know, for those Raptors teams that had Vince Carter on them and Chris Bosh, they've always been attracted to the blue collar lunch pail guys like Williams, who, you know, was tenacious, getting rebounds and always thought. And Kevin Pillar was that for the Blue Jays teams of 2015 and 2016. He wasn't flashy. He didn't have the power. He didn't have the sexy name appeal that an Edwin Encarnacion or Josh Donaldson or Jose Bautista had. But he went out there, you know, he grinded his way up as a 32nd round pick out of Cal State Dominguez Hills, which I do have a friend that actually goes there. So it does exist. It is a school that exists. But just that kind of mentality really endeared himself to the Blue Jays fans. And I give credit to the Giants as well for holding back in the dugout and just letting Kevin Pillar take that in. I think that was very important. And like, you could see on the broadcast how Pillar was a bit shocked just to get that kind of video, and then to get the standing ovation that he did from the Toronto faithful. I'm very proud of everyone who was in the Rogers Centre to be able to do that, because he He did that and more for the Blue Jays. He was that everyday hero, that everyday Superman in many ways. And that is how you do tributes. That is how you should do tributes for guys like that, especially guys who did not leave by choice. Like Pilar was traded. I bet he would have been happy to finish his career in Toronto. Just was not in the cards. He said it himself in a Toronto Star interview that once the window closed on the Blue Jays, he knew he was kind of on the chopping block and could see it coming. And the Jays sent him to California. He got to play at home. He mentioned the first time he walked into Dodger Stadium, playing in front of friends and family in a stadium that he went to meant a lot. But you can tell by the interviews he gave that his heart is going to be in Toronto. And obviously the end of the career is still a ways off for Kevin Pillar. I mean, he's only 30, but I would not be surprised to see him take a kind of Devin White role in the organization eventually, either as a coach or one of those special assistants, just because of what he meant to the franchise and what he did for the franchise with the catches, with the occasional home run, when he wasn't swinging at pitches outside the strike zone. But again, it was classy. It was how the tribute should have been done. And I just give kudos to everyone involved who put that video package together, who stood up and cheered for a guy who deserved it in the end, and to Pilar himself for just being so appreciative and so accepting of that praise. It is the one of the standout scenes from the 2019 season and will be for the Blue Jays, just that kind of tearful reunion. So yeah, I just wanted to focus on that and focus on the positivity there. We do have some positivity coming up in the second half of this podcast. And it's from a couple of sources, but it's definitely not from the pitching, and we'll talk about that in a sec. But before we do that, just a reminder that this podcast is brought to you by Blue Chew. Blue Chew is, it's blue like the color blue, as in Blue Jays, and it brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know it'll work for you when you need it. And you can take it anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since it's chewable, it's going to work twice as fast. So you're ready to go almost, in double time. So you can be that much more efficient when you need to be, whenever the opportunity comes up. Blue Chew is prescribed online. It ships straight to your door in a discreet little package, so you don't have to go to the doctor and be like, I need blue things, or don't have to wait in line at the pharmacy and get the side eye from the old ladies, just like, I need my Metamucil. And best of all, there's no awkwardness involved in this. It's just shipping directly to you. They're made in the USA, so it's quality, and it's cheaper than a pharmacy because of the direct shipping. And if you visit bluechew.com right now, you'll get your first shipment for free when you use the special promo code MLB. You just got to pay the $5 in shipping if you're in America. So again, that's bluechew.com, promo code MLB to try for free. It's a better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Okay, so as we said earlier, the Blue Jays lost last night 7-6 to San Francisco. They missed an opportunity to go back to 500 for the first time since the Baltimore series. But like, as opposed to those early struggles, it definitely wasn't the offense this time, or at least the situational offense that happened. I mean, Obviously, the score line was a little closer than it was for the majority of the game, thanks to that Rowdy Tellez grand slam in the eighth inning, which I can't tell you how much I expected the Blue Jays to get absolutely nothing from that, especially after watching Smoke strike out on three pitches. I'm like, oh, here we go again. This is going to be nothing. And then for Rowdy to go and do that, I mean, that's why Rowdy's on his team. He is the power threat now in that middle of the order. So it was good to see. It was good to see Eric Sogard hit a home run as well. Because, I mean, it would have looked pretty bad of me if I bigged up Sogard before the game and he didn't do anything against Jeff Samardzija, who was all right. But that's par for the course for Samardzija these days. He's all right. That's all you can ask out of him. Richard Urania, in his return, he got the start in place of Freddy Galvis, who had hamstring issues. Galvis did come out to pinch hit, but he struck out. So, I mean, what can you do there? But it was good, you know, from the top of the order. But again, the bottom of that bottom half was wasteland. And, you know, you expect some of it to be rectified when the Blue Jays do call up Vladimir Guerrero Jr., which it's going to happen. It's going to happen soon because he's not helping Buffalo. Buffalo's floundering because the pitching down there, it's even worse than the pitching for Toronto. So bring him up. So that'll alleviate one of the spots because that'll obviously knock Brandon Drury out of the lineup, and Drury's still just batting 188 with only three RBIs. Not acceptable from a six hitter. So he'll come out of the lineup. Billy McKinney showed signs of life. Socrates Brito got a triple. Saw that coming. His batting average is up to 0.74. But I still think his time is going to be short. I'm guessing it's going to be Alan Hansen who actually goes down, just because if they want to keep an outfielder as like a fourth outfielder, Brito's got enough speed to justify that. But Alan Hansen's barely getting any playing time now. Eric Sogard stole his spot like right out from under him. So in that essence, the offense was all right, but, you know, again, like, Trent Thornton just lost it early. And, like, the thing with Trent Thornton is he's doing a good job at mostly staying within the strike zone. He threw 83 pitches last night, 57 were strikes. But he's putting them in spots where it's just easy for hitters to find it. Like, he's not really fooling anyone. And the strikeout numbers will say a different story, but, like, they're just honing in on what Thornton's got and just being able to knock it the other way. And, like, that wasn't a Trent Thornton isolated problem last night. Like, Joe Panic did most of the damage off Thornton, but then Thomas Pinone coming in and giving up a couple home runs, Daniel Hudson coming in and giving up Pablo Sandoval's first home run of the season. Just they had a serious problem with the gopher ball last night. And that's obviously something that's going to be tough to rectify in this homer happy era that many pitchers are operating in. And for Pinone, those two hits were the only real blights on his performance, which, you know, continues to be good out of the pen. I still wouldn't do anything to try and mess with that. But for Thornton, it's just another disappointing outing. And you have to wonder how long the Blue Jays will let him continue to struggle like this. His ERA is up to 5.79 now. Again, he went the five innings, which that's the baseline for a starter. But they weren't good innings. They weren't, you know, we're gonna give the team a chance to win innings. They were just their innings, and you have to wonder how much more the Blue Jays can take that, especially with a young pitcher who, if they think he's going to be a part of the future, they should probably give him a chance to taste success. So again, I don't know if that's a swap, just a straight swap in Buffalo for Jacob Waxpack, who did start last night for the Bisons. But that could make sense if Thornton continues to struggle like this, just because you don't want to see him kind of, you know, pitch himself out of the majors essentially like that. And like Wagspack, this isn't just a mercy demotion. Wagspack's pitched well. He's only allowed 2 earned runs over his last 10 innings of work in AAA, so he's starting to round into form as well. He has 23 strikeouts in 20 and a third innings, so, you know, again, very comparable numbers to Thornton. I would really like to see Wagspack just get a shot at it, just considering, you know, the growth he's made and the kind of, you can see he sees the path to the major league level. And just with Thornton just continuing to get hit like over and over like this, it's tough to watch. And again, it's the thing we talked about before. It's the Maroff effect. You don't want to wreck these young pitchers by just having their confidence absolutely beaten out of them. So again, I would look at potentially sending Thornton back down just to kind of reevaluate himself. Again, when you give up 13 runs in 12 and two thirds innings over your last 3 starts, that's probably a sign that things aren't going well. So we'll see what happens there. We'll see what happens with today's series finale. Drew Pomeranz going against Clay Buchholz. So hopefully Buchholz can now have a bit of a better outing than he did last night, but just continue to kind of be consistent, because the Blue Jays could use that in the rotation right now, just given some of the things that have happened over the past few days. Also, they did announce Aaron Sanchez is scheduled to start against Oakland. We'll see if that actually happens, but, you know, so far it looks all right. So we'll see how that goes for the Blue Jays. Anyway, that brings us to the end of today's podcast episode. Just a reminder, if you're not subscribed to it, do so on Himalaya, on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. You can find Locked On Blue Jays. You can play it in your car just by telling your smart device, hey, play Locked On Jays, and it'll totally do that because technology and stuff. Follow me on Twitter at NeoEC18, that's NeoEC18. I swear I'm going to watch Game of Thrones tonight so I can return to social media to the fullest extent and not have to try and avoid spoilers. And you can follow this podcast at Locked On Jays on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, however you want to do it. That's your choice because this is a democracy. Anyway, for everyone here at the Locked On Podcast Network and JaysFromTheCouch.com, I've been Ryan Andrews. Thank you all so much for listening to today's episode, and y'all take care.